Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Data Role podcast. This is Stan speaking, and in today's episode, we're going to explore legal aspects of iGaming with respect to the Finnish market. My today's guest is Antti Koivula, legal advisor and Finnish iGaming market expert at Legal Gaming Attorneys at Law. Antti, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Stan, great to be here.
And if I may kindly ask you for a short introduction to our audience.
As you already mentioned, I'm a Finnish iGaming lawyer. I've been working with iGaming law for the past 3 years. I'm solely working with iGaming law. Before switching to law, I actually used to be a professional sports bettor for 12 years. Before which, I used to do some data scouting and stuff like that for a few years. So I've been, you know, on a different side, you know, under those roles previously as well. So it's really my turf. I like it. I'm working for Legal Gaming Attorneys at Law, as you mentioned. We are a law firm based in Finland. Obviously, the Finnish iGaming law is our bread and butter. We are specialized on iGaming law, and currently we are not, you know, we are purely concentrated on the iGaming law. We are not carrying out other tasks. I would say, well, that's more or less it. I've had the pleasure of working with, you know, more or less all actors involved in the iGaming sector, B2C operators, B2B suppliers, entities involved in marketing and PSPs and so on. It's great. I love it.
Perfect. So I'm confident that you're going to be the right person to answer my questions because I got quite a lot of them. And let's start with the beginning. So if I may kindly ask you to give us like a brief overview of where Finland is standing today, what is the current stand of the iGaming market?
Current stand of the iGaming market. As it happens, we still have a monopoly system in place. So the state-owned monopoly operator Veikkaus has exclusive rights for gambling activities in Finland. That's going to change though. 2 days ago, a draft law introducing a licensing system in Finland in a few years' time was published. And it's been a few long days for me. I've been going over it, you know, almost without the sleep since then. But anyway, that's the current situation. I would say that the legislative situation is a bit of a schizophrenic in the sense that, as mentioned, Veikkaus has formally and legally monopoly in Finland, but at the same time, the law doesn't prohibit foreign operators from offering their services in Finland, and neither does it prohibit Finnish customers from using their services. So in a sense, we have a monopoly, but in reality, you know, the monopoly has, it hasn't existed for years, at least online.
So it can't really be executed, yeah?
Yeah, that's more or less it, yes.
And beside this, so we have, we're speaking about a monopolistic system, which is in place since inception. Do you see that there's any other specific aspects that you would call out that make the Finnish market stand out and exceptional from the other European markets?
I would say, I would raise 2 points. First of all, the average per capita gambling expenditure, it's among the highest ones in the world. Before COVID-19, we used to be in top 3 or top 4 position in the whole world. Since then, the average expenditure has dropped to a certain extent, and we are not in the top of the world anymore in expenditure, but it's still, you know, on the highest end in Europe. And my second point regarding this is that Finland has physical gambling machines basically in all everyday environments. And they are not hidden, you know, they are next to the cashier or next to the entrance and really in a visible spots. Let's say in grocery stores, in kiosks, in restaurants, and not only on those. Until the, you know, if you go a few years back, there used to be slot machines, physical slot machines, even in elderly home cafeterias, in swimming halls, even in hospital cafeterias, you know, basically anywhere you can imagine. And that's really, I'm not aware that this kind of gambling culture, you know, would exist anywhere else in the world.
I was already surprised learning that you had those slot machines in the supermarkets.
Yeah, and as mentioned, they are not hidden like in some other countries, but they are located, you know, straight next to the cashier where anyone can see them. And, you know, I would say that the physical slot machines are, well, one of the main reasons why Finns gamble so much nowadays, and also why there has been so much underage gambling in Finland. Now, nowadays, the situation has, has improved somewhat, but it's still not that.
Also, I'm following your posts on social media, and I was pretty surprised by another interesting item. One of your posts was stating that there was a nice fishing contest that has been chased by law enforcement due to the Lottery Act violation. And do you think that such cases are extreme, isolated, or maybe quite the contrary? Because based on your experience, do you see it as something specific to Finland or also appearing in a broader geographic legal context?
Well, I'm not aware that in any other jurisdiction an ice fishing competition would have been considered as a lottery or gambling. Now, the ice fishing incident, it's a great example of how broadly the lotteries or gambling have been defined in the Finnish law. The Finnish law basically states that if a competition or activity, whatever it shall be, if it has entrance fees or stakes, you know, and prices of monetary value, and the outcome is at least partly determined by chance, then it qualifies as a lottery, and it belongs to the state-owned gambling monopoly operators, Veikkaus exclusive rights. So the definition is extremely broad. Now, when it comes to that ice fishing competition or incident you mentioned, a local supermarket or the world's largest village shops, as they have branded themselves, they had been arranging an ice fishing competition near the shop since 1996, if I can recall. From 2003, the Ministry of the Interior, they started raising concerns that the ice fishing competition, it qualifies as a lottery and cannot be arranged by anyone apart from the monopoly operator. As the organizer, they continued organizing the competition. The Ministry of the Interior reported the incident to the police. Eventually, it went through the court system, and in the end, the Supreme Court concluded that the ice fishing competition, it indeed qualified as a lottery. It belongs to the exclusive rights providers, and the organizers was sentenced to fines. It's a great example of how broadly lotteries and gambling have been defined in the Finnish law. If, you know, for example, if you look at any competition, for example, beauty pageants, they would be included within the definition of a lottery if they wouldn't be specifically excluded in the draft government's proposal level, so on draft law level. So it's, you know, the definition is extremely broad.
And depends on the interpretation then.
Yeah, the National Police Board, which is the supervisory authority, their interpretation have been, you know, broadening, extensive and broadening as well. So,
And how do you see the evolution of the market over the last few years, especially with respect to Veikkaus monopoly?
Veikkaus has been rapidly losing market share and cross-gaming revenue in the past years. This trend started more or less when we used to have three governmental-owned monopoly companies in Finland before 2017. In 2017, they merged to one operator, which was called, well, Veikkaus, even though Veikkaus existed already before that legislative reform. And since then, it's been a downhill for them. The cross-gaming revenue has decreased quite a lot. It used to be on the level of 1.8 billion euros, and now, last year, it was barely over 1 billion euros. So there's been a huge decrease in Veikkaus market share. At the same time, in the past 5 or 7 years or so, the other online operators have gained market space. They used to have less than 100 million per year, and now the figure is somewhere 600 million annually, depending from whom you ask. But anyway, there's been a huge increase in that number. So basically, customers have been going from Veikkaus to their competition. And there's rather good reason for that as well. Obviously, there are many reasons. But as mentioned, the Finnish gambling law is, in a way, it's a schizophrenic. It grants Veikkaus exclusive rights, but on the practical level, Veikkaus doesn't have exclusive rights online. Now, the Lotteries Act, based on the Lotteries Act, Veikkaus must follow, you know, certain responsible gambling criteria, and their marketing is rather restricted. Now, this only applies to Veikkaus. Now, as mentioned, legally, Veikkaus is the only entity allowed to market in Finland. That being said, any Finn who have ever been online knows that there's much more gambling marketing online than that of Veikkaus. So that doesn't, on a practical level, you know, the level of supervision and enforcement, it just hasn't been sufficient. And basically for these reasons, Veikkaus hasn't been competitive enough in the past, and they've lost customers to others.
So basically we could summarize it as follows. So on one side, you got Veikkaus that cannot go too aggressive with marketing. They have to set specific limits for responsible gaming, while others are not subject to these restrictions and they can go more aggressive?
Yeah, that's the simple way to put it. That being said, as mentioned, it's prohibited or you know, any gambling marketing which is directed to Finland and which is not Veikkaus marketing is prohibited. But it's a fact that there's a lot of, you know, gambling marketing directed to Finland online. And apart from the prohibition, you know, that's the situation. But anyway, Veikkaus is following the marketing restrictions and responsible gambling guidelines and so forth. So basically, that makes them, in a matter of speaking, handicapped against at least quite a few of their competitors online.
That's clear. I have also read that over the last few years, especially after the pandemic, the number of slot machines nearly halved in Finland. And do you see that this reduction in the number of machines has caused a significant decrease in the gambling exposure of the population?
Yeah, we already touched upon this a little bit earlier. As mentioned, there's been, you know, physical slot machines in basically all everyday environments in Finland. They are not limited to shops and restaurants, but also in hospital cafeterias, elderly home cafeterias, swimming hall cafeterias, and, you know, even sports halls in which elementary school kids go for their PE lessons and so on. So they are everywhere. As you mentioned, the number of the machines have drastically reduced in the past few years, but the number of the places where they've been placed hasn't. So basically, for example, we used to have, in the biggest supermarkets, we used to have 15 slot machines in a row. Nowadays, there's only 4. But, you know, they've reduced the number in those kind of places, but at the same time, they are still visible in most of the places where they used to be as well. Now, coming back to your question, the slot machines sure have had a lot of gambling exposure for the population. During COVID, the gambling machines were actually closed for a considerable period of time in 2020, 21, and so forth. And at the same time, Veikkaus introduced compulsory identification system in their gambling machines. So before that, you know, anyone was able to just put cash in the machines, you know, anonymously and play the machines. But during COVID, both the machines were closed and then the compulsory identification was included. And as a result, the gross gaming revenue from those machines decreased a lot. And obviously, you know, the machines have lost a lot of their meaning for Veikkaus. That being said, the meaning the gambling machines have in Finland, it's not limited to the gross gaming revenue they bring. But as mentioned, they are visible everywhere. So they are also an effective tool of marketing, an effective tool of normalizing gambling.
That's clear.
So yeah, they've had a lot of effect in the Finnish, you know, regarding Finnish gambling.
So it seems that the exposure is not necessarily reduced, and the whole situation that you're describing somewhat reminds me of Poland back in the 90s, where we had like still a non-regulated market. We had slot machines that were located in every single bar just next to the counter. You could go to the bar, have some beers, and then play on the slots without any identification. This has changed. In the beginning of the 2000-2008 or so, we had like a legal reform that imposed the regulatory restrictions. Now when we have slot machines, they are contained into a specific area and you need to provide your proof of identity. You need to have a card for playing in the slot machines, but we still struggle with the black market. So it seems that even despite some reforms, we're still looking for the, let's say, golden solution and the right balance to strike it.
Yeah, when it comes to slot machines, you know, I used to play slot machines the first time I was, I don't know, 8 years old or something. That used to be more or less normal in Finland. There was the age limit of 15 back in the days, but it wasn't supervised. And even in, you know, even more recently, they made, what's the term, hidden buys for those, or, you know, test buys, test plays for the gambling machines. They used to do that. And age supervision used to fail 90% of the time. So basically, it was successful only 10% of the time. That's really awful. I mean, underage gambling, that's something that should be taken seriously. But it wasn't until the more recent days. As mentioned, nowadays, there's the compulsory identification. Okay, that's, you know, you don't have to put an ID on the machines. It suffices if you put someone's Veikkaus card in it or so on. But it's the situation, at least, is much, it has improved a lot.
At least it's in the right direction. And especially in the context of the reforms that are being planned, I saw survey data and Finns are neither strongly in favor nor against a licensing scheme. So why do you think Finland is making this move towards this licensing model?
Now, as mentioned, Veikkaus cross-gaming revenue has rapidly decreased and so has the channelization rate. This fact forced the decision makers to understand that change will be unavoidable. Now, the only wise decision was to start the reform as soon as possible, as otherwise there would not be much to salvage in regards of Veikkaus and their cross-gaming revenue and value for the state. Okay, now, I personally consider that the change should have begun already 10 to 15 years ago, but it's better late than never, and better now than, you know, in 5 years' time or
definitely.
Or so.
And do you have an idea how will the new licensing system work and what are the key elements that will be implemented?
The draft law was published 2 days ago, and I've spent most of my wake hours with it since then. There's still lots of pages to cover. It's 417 pages. But in overall, there's going to be B2C gambling licensing. The licensing process will start in 2026, but the operators will be allowed to permit or allowed to function in the Finnish market only in the beginning of 2027. Also, a B2B licensing system will be introduced. The B2B licensing will begin in the beginning of 2027, and from the beginning of 2028, the B2C licensors are obliged to use only licensed B2B suppliers. Our tax rate is set to 22%. There is marketing restrictions, and as in all jurisdictions, I would say I have some certain concerns regarding this. For example, bonuses prohibited altogether. Affiliate marketing is, well, it depends on the interpretation. My interpretation of the draft law at this point is that affiliate marketing will be banned as well. There certainly will be or might be possibilities to circumvent the regulation, and it's a bit open to interpretation. Obviously, the law doesn't touch upon affiliate marketing per se. It just prohibits all third-party marketing activities. Now, enforcement will be enhanced. That's great, though I must say I was expecting even more. Cooling off, that's been under a lot of discussion. There won't be a cooling off period. But that being said, past infringements will lead rejection of license application. So, you know, anyone having hard time with the Finnish authorities right now might be rejected a license. Obviously, you know, there are certain requirements regarding this, you know, more specific ones. But that was something I really liked. There was a lot of things I would have changed or amended, at least to a certain extent. But there were a lot of, you know, positives included as well.
And how do you think that these changes will impact existing market players, especially Veikkaus? Do you think that there's really a chance that the channelization will increase and that we will reach, let's say, ambitiously 90%?
We must remember that, you know, only the first draft law has been published. It will be amended. It's not the final version of the law. In fact, it opened the public hearing process, which will last until August 18th. And after the hearing process has ended, they will modify the draft law before it will be submitted to the European Commission. Also, it's possible that minor changes will be made during the parliamentary process, which is due to start in 2025. before their law is scheduled to enter force in the beginning of 26. So I must underline and emphasize that this is not the final version of the law. That being said, when it comes to the current form of the draft law, I really have certain concerns, especially regarding the prohibition of bonuses and affiliate, at least traditional affiliate marketing. And yeah, if you consider, for example, affiliate marketing, it's highly important for a great majority of online operators. It forms the basis for customer acquisition. And the bonuses are extremely important, or at least important in this regard as well. If all this is taken away, or at least, you know, severely restricted, then what's left? Percentage-wise, at least, not that much. Now, it will be for sure that if changes won't be made to the draft law, there will be great pressure on the remaining marketing methods. TV, radio, newspapers, and so on. All of them will be flooded with gambling ads during the first few years. Interestingly, during the preparatory phase of this reform, this was exactly what the MPs, civil servants, and basically more or less all interest groups expressed that must be avoided. So no one really wanted this situation that, you know, that those marketing channels which will be allowed will be flooded with gambling marketing. But now they are proposing a ban of affiliates and bonuses, which will automatically more or less drive operators to those channels which will be, you know, allowed. So that's rather absurd. I'm really hoping that many, and I'm strongly suggesting to anyone involved in the Finnish gambling market to provide their statements before August 18. Anyone can provide their statements in the benefit of the gambling reform process. And at the more there will be statements underlining and providing facts why this might be, this or some other feature might be problematic, or if there's legal issues or so forth, the better the chances that it will be amended during the process.
And from your point of view, when we speak about player protection, you have mentioned that bonuses shall be prohibited, affiliate marketing as well. Still, do you think that this kind of licensing model will introduce more player protection? Like, for example, in Poland, we've got a regulated market and licensing model for sports betting while maintaining the monopoly for the online casino. And many argue that the monopoly in the online casino helps to safeguard the players, because say you have one player limit, and instead of a player hitting the maximum limit in one platform, going to the second, the third, the fourth one. So this way you kind of protect the players by making sure that they really do not exceed the limits that have been set for them, or that they set by themselves, instead of going to 3-4 different platforms. And what is your take on that with respect to Finland?
Okay, now, effective player protection, it can be achieved in both monopoly and licensing mode. It all comes down to regulation and its implementation. Now, if you look at the Finnish problem gambling numbers, for example, they are among the highest ones in Europe. And in that sense, it's undeniable fact that the monopoly system has failed in Finland. Need is, you know, we really need change in that regard as well. 4.2% of Finnish population is considered to be either problem gamblers or in a serious threat to develop problem gambling. 50% of all cross-gaming revenue comes from 2.2% of players. So it's, you know, it's coming from the same few players. Now, and 20% of Finns have at least one close contact, family member or a spouse, close friend, who has a gambling problem. So Finland has, and that the Finnish monopoly system has failed when it comes to, you know, at least prevention of gambling-related harm and so on. Now, when we move to licensing system, it will bring majority of gambling offering under regulation. And it creates the possibility to regulate a bigger portion of Finnish gambling that used to be the case. Currently, roughly 50% of the online market share is within a regulated market, and it's decreasing. And if we look at, for example, fixed odds online sports betting, only 10% is within regulated market, or roughly 10%. And when it comes to online casino games, including slots, the figure is something like 20%. So the channelization rate in those, especially in those game categories, is extremely low already. Now, bringing more gambling under the regulation, it creates a good starting point for gambling harm prevention or effective player protection. However, the law and the way it will be implemented, it will naturally play a crucial role. Now, it's really too early to provide anything conclusive regarding the draft law that was published 2 days ago. But I'm really hopeful that there will be improvement for the current state of affairs.
That's right. And also now just getting back to one point that you have mentioned about, say, we've got an operator, they have a certain budget, but suddenly you take out some of the weapons and channels that they can use. If you take out two channels that they could use, they will funnel all the money which is remaining into a specific channel, let's say TV campaigns or video ads, etc. And now I'm thinking, if you can name any other potential risks for operators that would be entering the soon-to-be newly regulated market?
Well, as mentioned, the draft law was published only 2 days ago, and there's a lot of open questions at this point. And for example, when it comes to technical requirements, not even a draft version has been published yet. So it's really too early, you know, provide any more specific analysis on this. I guess the most pressing concern I have at this point is specifically related, you know, market entry. How can an online, especially the smaller online operators who don't have already have an extensive Finnish database, how can they enter the Finnish market if you ban bonuses and affiliate, a traditional affiliate marketing? So that's a concern. Obviously, operators should closely analyze the situation and consider, you know, if it's possible to make business in Finland and whether the environment is appropriate. I know it is for many, but not to all. And in this task, it's really important to make fact-based decisions. And I would strongly encourage operators to use local experts as their aides.
Thanks a lot for all these answers. And that's going to be it for today's episode. So just to quickly sum it up, we've covered various aspects of the Finnish iGaming market, especially in the context of the recent advancements when it comes to the legal framework and the expected changes that will certainly lead to a real revolution in the iGaming in Finland. Thanks a lot, Antti, for this great discussion.
Thank you very much, Stan.
So that's going to be it for today. This was Stan signing off for now. And don't forget to keep rolling with the data.